Blog Talk Radio.
Hey y'all, what's good? Welcome to Wake Up With Love. I am so glad you chose to start your morning with us today. This is a sacred space cultivated with spirit, heart, and purpose designed to support you in becoming the greatest expression of the massive blessing you came into this world to be. So let's get into it. What is good, beautiful people? Love Batista and Betsy Batista here.
Good morning.
With another installment of Wake Up With Love. It's time to rise and shine, good folks. So thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful Friday. I'm so excited because we're actually here today to introduce you to a topic that's been deep on my heart for about 6.5 years now, and it's called Birthing Your Dreams.
We're kind of birthing the dream of this show right now.
So you're in the room with us live.
You're in the delivery room. We're in labor right now. It's happening.
The funny thing is it feels like my life has been a series of birthing my dream, being in the delivery room and actually trying to speak into the world that this is a beautiful thing, that when it comes to our dreams, our gifts, the truth of us, it is a gift that gets birthed in public, in real time for most of us. And when we can bring our humanity and our acceptance and our understanding that might be happening for ourselves or for the people we love, I think there's going to be such a greater sense of grace, love, and compassion on each one of our experiences.
And you're reminding me too, love, that birth is messy, y'all. Birth is messy. And a lot of times when people get caught up in how that mess is going to look or how it's going to be experienced by others, it actually slows down the birthing process when you're like too self-conscious around how it looks. And if you can just acknowledge, this is going to be messy and the people around me are cool with that. And let's just focus on what we're doing here and not worry about the mess. It happens more elegantly. So bless the mess.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. It is messy and beautiful and
mm-hmm.
in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Completely demanding the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting because as we've been speaking about this, it's like what place does a man, or at least a man, a masculine facing individual, have to do in the birthing arena? And as someone that was birthed and had the pleasure of witnessing two births and have profound awe for the complement to the masculine, the divine feminine, and the bold courage it takes to keep humanity going. So I just want to take a deep and all-abundant bow to all my mamas out there, to all the mamas that have been, all the mamas living now, and all the mamas coming forward.
Thank you on behalf of the mamas. We say thank you. And that was such a good point at the beginning that literally every human who's alive on the planet has experienced birth.
Yeah.
Because one way or another, no matter how it happened, you yourself were birthed once.
Yeah.
You had to have been or you wouldn't be here. And maybe on a conscious level you don't remember it, but you have been through a birth yourself at some point.
Yeah, I had the honor of working with somebody in hypnosis session many years back, and they actually went back and relived their birth.
Mm.
And I've actually known a couple people now that I've heard that in their healing recapitulation, they've had to go back and re-witness the beginning.
Mm.
And I'll tell you, people, listening to like the fact that like most of us were in a very safe place within the womb, and a loving being guarded and provided for and nourished and loved and spoken to. I know that's not everyone's experience, but the ones that won't, the beginning of the birthing cycle for the baby is intense.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I call it, it's a tunnel to life. It is a tunnel to life, and each one of us had to take it. Myself, I was a cesarean, so I came in not through the tunnel, and I think that is something we'll touch on through this show,
mm-hmm.
and all the different ways in which birth happens. But it's a journey into life, and we each pay the admission
yeah.
of moving from all that is to in this very 3D matter experience.
Mm-hmm. And I want to also just acknowledge, I mean, as you're talking about the many different ways that people can birth and be birthed, you know, I actually had a friend reach out to me when I was talking about wanting or planning to do this show, and they had not themselves been able to give birth, but had adopted a beautiful boy. And they very lovingly pointed out to me that there are lots of ways to become a mama, to become a parent, and that there is a very unique kind of birthing process of becoming a parent too, even when you're not physically the one to birth that baby. And I've watched people go through the process of applying for adoption and the ups and downs and heartbreaks and worry and all the things, right? It's like you're already a parent. You're just waiting for the physical manifestation of the child that you're meant to care for. And it's just, it's a different process. And it doesn't come through your physical body, but it comes through your emotional body. And so I just also want to acknowledge that there are many ways to physically give birth, and there are many ways to become a parent also in witnessing and being part of that birthing process in other ways. So just naming that as well, because there's also people who give birth who then also don't end up raising the child. So it's a complex topic, is all. There's much nuance to this that we will try to address. And so I hope you can hear us talking about it with love, and we're hoping to be as inclusive as possible with all these experiences. And so please know that if we're talking about one specific experience in a particular moment, we're not excluding or discounting other experiences. We're just focusing on that experience for that moment.
Beautifully said. And that's why we called it Birth a Dream. And so what we want to do is we look to the natural, to nature, to the reoccurring, the thing that's in perfect balance, the thing that's happening naturally, and then we learn from it. And so being able to witness this beautiful thing that I've watched happen to so many women in my life, where they're one way, and then they pee on a stick, or they go to the doctor, and then they come out of the office or the bathroom as a different human being.
Yeah.
Like what they weren't able, habits they weren't able to break just 15 minutes earlier are gone.
Yeah.
The way they approach life, the way they start eating,
mm-hmm.
the minerals, the all the things they do, they start supporting this new dream that is at that moment just a line on a stick or news from a doctor or a healthcare provider.
Yeah, well, it's physically there, but you can't feel it. You can't wait. That's such a mind game the first time you ever get, well, I'll just speak for myself. The first time I got pregnant, you know, and because other than feeling nauseous from time to time in the morning sickness that came with it, like it would freak me out in my head that I would forget. Like I would just be walking around the world and all of a sudden I'd have this moment where I'd remember, oh my God, I'm at the grocery store and I'm pregnant and I forgot I was pregnant. And what does that say about me that I forgot that I was pregnant? I'm pregnant. Like it was just very, because until you can feel the baby moving or until you're showing, which takes longer than most people think the first time around, it's easy to forget.
Who can relate to that? Who can relate to be walking around with a dream, walking around the world completely unconscious, and then something you see, something you hear, something you remember reminds you that actually you're here on a mission.
Mm-hmm.
You're here with something to birth, something to bring forward, something to introduce into the world, something to bring new life to.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, and the moment you remember, then you, once again, yeah.
It's kind of a jolt. You're like, oh, shoot, I forgot about this very, very, very important thing.
And that's why I am such a strong component for community, because I feel like the community holds you when we forget. Forgetting can easily be part of being so distracted. There's so many things coming at us that are asking for our attention
mm-hmm.
and our time. And so when we're around a group of people that understand, then they're watching our back too
mm-hmm.
and being like, oh, her action or his action doesn't seem in alignment with the fact that they're birthing a dream right now. you know, maybe they've forgotten and I can give a nudge or hold them safe in a certain way.
Yeah, or even like the question, I think the one that used to kick me back into it, because everyone else around you remembers.
When you're showing.
No. Once you told them with the pregnancy, yeah. Everyone else remembers. They're like, I'm pregnant. And people okay. would. People
That's
would,
beautiful. That's yeah. very different from holding a dream.
Yeah, it's true. Well, the people would come up to me, but how are you feeling?
Wow.
How are you feeling? And yeah. sometimes that would remind me if I was yeah. feeling fine, you know, like, how am I feeling? Well, I'm feeling, oh,
yeah.
you know, that's why you're asking me how I'm feeling. And so, but I think sometimes that can happen in the real life too, if you find a trusted source, because at the beginning in the first trimester, they tell you not to share before 12 weeks,
yeah.
which you and I have had conversations about whether that's a good idea or not, because the reason they tell you not to share is like if, you know, forbid something happens, which it's most common that a pregnancy loss would happen in the first trimester. And then, you know, but we've talked about this before where wouldn't you want the support around you if you go through a loss? So wouldn't it be better to have shared and then to have people to hold you in the loss of it if that were to happen? But anyway, if you,
that's a big point. That's
yeah,
a deep breath. That's a deep breath. Like, that's a big one in itself. And we can definitely move on. Just like
mm-hmm.
For anyone that has experienced the loss
yeah.
of the possibility of life, and I've been yeah I've had many women in my life, and it's big. I'm not sure what to say to it, but I just feel like a breath in me for that whole realm.
Yeah, and I think that just to acknowledge that pain too, it's a loss that I think a lot of people don't understand and also feel like they can't talk about. Because I think there's a lot of internalized shame that comes with it.
Mm.
Like you think you did something wrong. And I think also people don't, and I think this relates to birth your dream too, but it's like, it is just a dream,
yeah.
but it's very real.
To you.
You know,
yeah.
like the second you're told you're pregnant, you're imagining who this baby is and how the birth is going to happen and who the child mm. is going to be and how they're going to grow and, you know, to then lose that. You know, it's a very real experience, and I think a lot of times people will write it off like, oh, but the baby never did, and it's such a diminishment of the depth of that pain because that baby did exist. That baby is very real, and it's a very real loss, and so, yeah, also just a huge hug to my mamas, and I think I'm grateful that I think it's becoming less of a taboo now. A lot more women are acknowledging it and talking about how common it is. And because it is extremely common. So, and I have many, many, many friends that have gone through that experience some multiple times, unfortunately.
And we can widen, and we can take it now and we can widen it to the
yeah.
purpose of the show of birthing your dream.
Right.
How many human beings are sitting here right now listening to this with a dream inside of them that they let go? That life told them it wasn't the right time.
Yeah, that
it wasn't
lost.
Real.
Yeah.
They can't do it. They're not ready. All of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're walking around with these unbirthed dreams
mm.
in our psyche that at one point in time was big enough to be all-consuming, knowing that if we could do that, we can change the face
mm-hmm.
of our life or the lives of many. And
yeah,
it's big. It's big. There's a pressure on our lives that I feel personally, and I know many people feel when they're carrying something beautiful
mm-hmm.
and have yet not understood how to fully bring it to term.
It's interesting because as you're saying that, I think sometimes the unbirthed dreams, like you said, all-consuming, I think sometimes the unbirthed dreams can feel more consuming than the ones we bring to life because there's so many what-ifs. There's so many could I, should I, would yeah. I. that come with it, you know, in our consciousness. But to go back to where I started before, and I'm glad we paused to acknowledge, and I hope that all the people who've experienced that kind of a loss can feel witnessed and seen and held and loved right now in this moment, honoring that experience. And, you know, the people that you may choose to feel safe enough to tell in the early stages where you're really, like, just first kind of incubating this dream, right? And where I hope you all can see the parallel we're drawing here to pregnancy, both physical and on the dream state, right? Like you get like love. You talk all the time about feeling like people will impregnate you all the time with inspiration and ideas and dreams. And we do, you know, we walk around, we're responding to our environment, we're responding to what's happening around us. And then what our soul calling is working on us, and those two things coming together to impregnate us with visions around how we can serve. Right. And so I think most people I know are probably pregnant with many, many dreams and visions at any one time, and whether they think they can make them happen or not. But if you have one and it's first starting and you're just starting to think about and grow and build it, the people that you trust to tell at the very sensitive time at the beginning, who are your trusted people that you can really trust to hold that in a good way? And are they the people who would be the ones to come up to you and be like, hey, how are you feeling? How's that dream going? But with the intention of
even
supporting the growth of
it. Even bigger than what can I do? Anything you need right now?
Yeah.
You need some food, some soup, some rest. what do you need? Is the real question.
You feeling a little sick? Like,
yeah, exactly.
That's very real. You're feeling a little ill about this dream right now.
And I want to just paint the picture for you, and that's how the idea came to me. It's like I was just witnessing from so many years working with people around birthing their greatest expression into reality, being able to witness themselves as the massive blessing they were born to be, and noticing how few in humanity have ever actually gotten to experience that. And that's why we're able to remember such a few amount of people by name, when I believe that we've all come here to be a massive blessing in our own right. And that most of the times, like Betsy said, we're carrying it and no one even knows we're carrying something special.
Mm-hmm.
There's no outward reflection of the truth or the weight or the gravity of how we experience it internally. And then who do we share it with? And when we share it, is that person going to diminish it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is like this fragile, beautiful thing, or are they going to hold it with care and love and understand its fragile place?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to be willing to change our whole life to honor its presence in our life, even though it's never promised to actually come to fruition? That's what I thought was so meaningful about some mothers, is they're willing to hold that news with all of their care, knowing they're not promised a baby.
And I think that's what you have, I think that's where, that's definitely where it started years ago, because, you know, you've been working with people for 25, almost 30 years now.
27.
And you know, so many people will have a dream but really struggle with changing their life or doing the things that would support them in bringing that dream to fruition. And I remember when both times I've been pregnant, you've turned to me and been like, this is a, because like you said, you know, I found out that I was pregnant. It was instantaneous. Okay. I'm not having caffeine. I'm not having these kinds of fish. I'm drinking this much water. I'm taking these vitamins. I'm, you know, and I've witnessed other people. It's like immediately, you know, okay, I'm not drinking. I'm not, you know, like these behaviors that could negatively impact the growth of the baby, I'm done, like in a moment, you know, it's on a dime. And you were like, that's incredible that women will do that, that this dream of this baby is big enough and motivating enough for women to be like, I'm done. All my attention is focused here. And you were like, what would happen if people took their dreams as seriously as that? If they were like, they peed on the stick of dreams and they got the plus sign and the universe was like, it's go time for that dream. And they were like, all right, I'm no longer doing these behaviors or these things that don't serve me because the birth of this dream is so important.
Yes.
But it's not, but most, I would venture to say most people don't necessarily respond that way, or many people don't find it within themselves to treat it that way.
Yeah.
And that was your inspiration. You're like, what if we just treated this like a real, like a physical pregnancy, you know?
Yeah. And then the communal support, like you individually, but then you walk out and you tell someone I'm pregnant, and they understand because it's culturally understood what pregnancy is and the importance of having a baby and the journey that you're about to take, but there's already knowledge.
Yeah, and what will impact it positively or negatively,
negative.
And how can we support you? Like, there are people in grocery stores who think they have the right to interject about what you should or shouldn't be doing with your body in pregnancy for the health and well-being of your baby, right? Like, I know so many people that are, I'm getting riled up right now. No, because there's people, like, pregnant people online at Starbucks, and the person behind them is like, is that decaf?
Yeah.
And they're like, that's none of your business. And also, yes, but also there are studies that show you can have a limited amount of caffeine and it is healthy. Why are you, but people feel like they care so much, let's say, that they feel they have the right to interject. Well, what if we were interjecting all the time with each other on behalf of our dreams?
Yeah, culturally that.
But also people don't do that to pregnant women. Sorry, don't do that. Don't do that.
The fifth on that one, gently usher us. And so,
on behalf of
get,
PSA, on behalf of pregnant women everywhere.
Yeah, because we're going into the messy, right?
Okay,
and,
sorry.
No, it's not. It's not sorry. It's beautiful, and this is part of this conversation, and it is an exploration.
Yes.
And as Betsy stated earlier, we have infinite room to play and dance in this question, and we're going to be bringing women in and fathers in. It's been amazing because, like, man, how many times have I experienced that somebody will get excited with me on a dream and help me, like, bring it to, like, inspire it into being and then decide they don't want to father it or take care of it into life.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, okay, great. I'm going to go back to whatever I was doing now and leave me being like, wait, we just actually created something that could be very useful. And if we're willing to work together on this
mm-hmm.
and hold it and create an umbrella around the dream, there's something possible here.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does. It does. I mean, I think that we see that culturally too around people are very focused on supporting women in the gestation and getting the baby to a healthy birth.
Mm.
And then once the baby is born, how much support do women have? Oh, I'm just speaking in the U.S.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of support for women directly postpartum once the baby is born. There's a ton of support to get them through pregnancy and towards the birth itself. But then they're holding, I mean, right after the birth, it's called the fourth trimester for a reason, you know? It's your whole identity, your whole life, your whole being has changed, and now you're responsible for the care and well-being of this whole human. And you don't know what you're doing. And there's, like, no support. And, well, there is some, but not little. There's not nearly as much. And I think there is some support that's becoming more common. Like, I think it's more common for people to use, like, postpartum doulas, for example. But there are countries where for the whole first year or more, there's a lot more support really built in on a cultural and societal level for women and whole families, you know, for both the parents and siblings, and just understanding that that's a very tender time at the very beginning of a new family. So we can compare all of this to dreams, let's be honest.
No, it really, like, people think, like, the hardest is the pregnancy.
Yeah.
You know? But there's an insulation to pregnancy when you're in pregnant form.
Because there's a common understanding that it's a tender time.
But even for the mother, for the baby, it's insulated.
Yeah.
There's a natural protection around
mm-hmm.
that mechanism. Even if the nourishment of the mom is low, there's a system that really protects that life.
Yeah.
And I don't think people really understand the vulnerability that happens once there's an individualization.
Yeah.
What does that mean when it separates?
Individuation.
There's individuation when the baby is outside
of
the mama.
Yeah.
Then it becomes the most fragile.
Yes.
As it's laying there. And that's the same thing with your dream. Once you put the dream into the world, and it has to think, that's when the most support is needed with this community
to circle around
and hold that space, because you're kind of
dazed
and confused.
Yeah,
you've just been through one of the biggest journeys.
Lord, yeah,
me as your partner witnessing, trying to be there for you was one of the biggest journeys I've ever had to take in a condensed amount of time. You know, being like,
it didn't feel terribly condensed to me.
Well, at least your body knows what it's doing. I don't know what I'm doing, but I still have to be here to support you to do that thing.
Yeah.
So, all the complexity.
You want to know a fun fact?
What is that?
So, human babies are actually born in the most vulnerable state of any living sentient being because of our anatomy and our physiology. Like, when babies are born, it's why we're like, be careful with its head.
Yeah.
Be careful with all this, because babies actually aren't so much of a baby when it's born, is not fully formed, and still needs to complete much of its growth outside of the womb. and it's partly because of our physiology and anatomy. Like if the baby grew all the way to where it was more sturdy and solid, we wouldn't be physically be able to birth it because of our anatomy. It's already very complicated for humans to birth the way that we are.
Wow.
But if you watch animals, I mean, colt, a horse is born, it's standing up within a couple of hours because that horse was fully formed in a different way within the womb. Like most other animals gestate longer until the baby is more fully formed inside the mother where it's more protected.
Yeah.
So that once it comes out into the world, it is, I mean, still it needs protection and the ability to grow and learn, but more, it's more equipped to handle the outside world than human babies are. Like human babies, if they don't get love, attention, constant care for the first period of time, and if we're not very careful with them, they will not, because physiologically of how the process works. So it's just a really interesting concept, and it's also why they call it the fourth trimester, because human babies are born much more vulnerable than other species.
I think, and it's perfect tie to the dream, you know? Like once the world gets a hold of your dream, once it's outside of you and you put it to the world, it's the same thing. When it needs the most care, it's still in gestation. It's in the fourth trimester, and it needs more protection, more guardianship. Anyone around it that wants to hold or interact with it has to come with their hands clean,
you know,
the birth blanket on the arm. Like
understanding
that you're interacting with something really precious
in
a really formidable moment.
That's very vulnerable,
and you're very vulnerable to not making it to full term.
Yeah.
And I just, man, there's just so many correlations in this, why I've been really pushing for this opportunity.
Well, and as you're saying that too, there's also a question around, because, I mean, when you're looking at a physical baby, it's like, there is a limit to how long it can gestate, right? Like, and physically be born well. When you're talking about a dream, I think there's also a real consideration there about when is the right moment to birth this? When is it ready for the world to get its hands on it, you know? And maybe there are some times where this dream is going to be birthed prematurely, and then how do you care for it? Or maybe it gestated a little too long, and then you got to compensate. Like, there's all kinds of considerations, but as you're gestating this dream of preparing and laying the foundation and growing all the parts and pieces, like here's the little foot and here's the heart and here's the right of the dream. Like when is it time? And that's actually another beautiful part of birth too, is like the time for the baby actually releases a hormone in utero that starts the process of birth. The baby tells the mom's body when it's ready. It's like, oh, I'm ready now. Birth me. And that's what starts the process, the cascade of labor. Typically. And so if we're paying attention, perhaps our dream itself will tell us when it is time to be birthed. I don't know why my voice just changed like that.
For a moment. Yeah, this is
for emphasis.
This is going to be, you know, really dissecting this.
We could go on and on.
This
clearly.
Is the first, and this is the first episode. And this will birth, because this is a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And we pushed for it to be a radio station, not a podcast. Because we want real live in-time interaction.
Mm-hmm.
We want to grow this with you. And it's so meaningful because I've given my life to helping people birth their dreams and really creating community where you can feel safe no matter which stage of your dream is in. You know that you have a group of people around you that are birthing their own. And so we're going to have a deeper level of compassion, a deeper level of encouragement, a deeper level of support than most communities are going to have, because the intention is you matter. There's something that you're meant to do here, and it's going to be an all-encompassing journey for you to do that thing. And as you're going through the School of Hard Knocks, where we just realized it's going to be one of the school's shows that we're going to do here, you know, as life is happening to you and you're learning, and often, you know, without the structures in place before you, we people as adults are literally creating the support structures that our children can be received in a way that we wish we could have.
Mm-hmm.
So we are literally tasked with the responsibility of becoming the role model we may have not had. And that is for most of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is one of the complexities of this. It is an exploration. And we're going to have women on to talk about the birth experience. We're going to have men on.
And non-binary people, perhaps.
And this will grow as large and explore, as she said, as inclusive, to see this from all the ways. And I just want to have this conversation with you. I'm deeply moved by what is birthing inside of you, what you're meant to bring forward. And I want to give everything in me to be a part of that with you and invite those that are already there to come out and let's join this community of people to surround and support each other and birthing everything that's meant to be birthed in this time. Because God knows, or the divine knows, as we look out, there's so much room for goodness in action right now.
So we'll be diving deeper. Obviously, we covered a wide variety of topics, and we could have gone in on any one of them, so we will. We'll go in as we go forward. But inviting everybody to think about today, what are some dreams that live within you that you may have been paying attention to, or maybe you haven't, that you thought you were possible or deemed impossible? Just start dreaming in to your dreams, feeling into what's already been gestating within you, that maybe it's time. Maybe it's time for them now. So, and we'll be here every Friday.
I heard someone say, and I'm gonna butcher it, because butchering things I hear, or I put it through the love filter, and then it just comes out as I remember it. So that sounds sweeter than the way I said it before. And what I heard is Einstein said that your imagination is your reality becoming. I said it better than Einstein just said it. Actually, just quote me from now on. Your imagination is actually your future. I don't even know what I said.
You said your imagination is your reality becoming.
Ooh, isn't that beautiful? Put that on a T-shirt, someone. So that's what it is. So when we say dreams, we're not talking about pie in the sky ideas. No, when I say birth your dream, I mean it is a baby in the belly of your spirit, and it is not guaranteed. And that's why we must keep it in care and love and attention and give it the best possible chance. And we, my friends, my family, will circle you with love and gratitude and care in this process. And we ask that you circle back and we circle each other and give it the best likelihood that these beautiful dreams, we get to experience them into reality, into matter. Because they do matter.
They matter, and you matter.
And you matter. All right. Anything else for today?
That feels like an excellent place to end.
That feels like an amazing place to end. We love you so much. Have a blessed day. I hope you receive something that you get to breathe into your world and become more of you in it. It is the time, Lisa Nichols says, we're no longer asking for permission, folks.
We're
giving the
notice.
World notice. Here I am. Time to rise and shine.
Let's do it.
So much love. All right, beautiful people. Thank you for listening. If you were moved by what you heard today, you know what to do. Like it, share it, spread the love around. Until next time.